Welcome to the Grace-Based Family Podcast. This is Dr. Tim Kimmel. For over 40 years, our ministry has been teaching people all over the globe how to turn God's act of grace into the defining feature of their closest relationships. We're excited for you to listen in on the conversation.
Hey, this is Michelle, and we have
Kelly Wirt here.
Yes, so today we're looking forward to really unpacking what true greatness looks like. Here at Grace-Based Families, Dr. Tim Kimmel has written a book and really a whole curriculum around true greatness. So we're going to touch on that today, but I thought it'd be fun to kind of start out with some of the biblical Hall of Fame greatness folks. So, because it's so awesome to see what ordinary people can accomplish when they put their lives in the hands of an extraordinary God. And not only is that true for, you know, biblical figures and heroes, but even today, I mean, we see people that are just kind of plain Janes, and they are just really making an impact for the kingdom. So when you think about people like Abraham, right, like he kept his eyes on God and he put God first in his life, and Abraham is considered, you know, the father of the Jews. And think about all of the descendants that came from him, and ultimately Jesus. Joseph is another one where after disappointing blow after blow after blow, that would cause a lot of people to turn their back on God. But it really, it only fueled Joseph into a deeper level of trust. And the list goes on. You can we could talk about Ruth and David and Esther. And there's just so many familiar biblical heroes. And like I said, modern day heroes. And when you look at these people, you know, some were smart, some had a head start, some didn't, some were a little slower, some were more athletic, some were kind of awkward. Some were more attractive, some were more plain. But really, none of these factors played a role in determining their true greatness. It wasn't based on their looks, their status. It was really if they put their lives in the hands of God. And so we're going to talk about that today as parents, how so many parents, and I know we feel like this too as parents, sometimes we can miss our best opportunity to raise kids whose lives really count. We can kind of aim a little low, if you will.
Yeah, it's so true. In the world that we live in today, the world points us towards money, beauty, power, fame, success, education. All of those things are kind of how we measure true greatness in a worldly aspect. But God measures greatness from a stance of being humble, being stewards, being generous, being grateful, being servants of others. And I think that's where those of us that are trying to really truly aim our kids at true greatness need to focus. We want our kids to have a humble heart, a servant's heart, a generous heart, and a grateful heart.
And I think now more than ever with social media, as a parent, we're combating this drive for kids to want to be famous influencers, celebrities. And so it's easy to accidentally emphasize the superficial rather than the supernatural.
Yeah. Well, it doesn't help that even in today's age, when you ask a kid what they want to be when they grow up, they say a YouTuber.
Yeah.
You're like, I mean, I've heard this a time or two, being involved in youth ministry, children's ministry, working in my kids' school, and I've heard kids actually say that. That's what they want to be when they grow up, or a gamer, or an influencer, and you're just like, is this the new, I want to be a fireman, or I want to be a teacher? No, they want to be YouTubers where they make slime and get paid ridiculous amounts of money for doing so. And it's hilarious to me, but you're so right in how the time that we live in with social media and the importance that that is kind of portrayed and how kids see, like, these people are liked and they have all these followers. And what person doesn't want to feel wanted, liked, followed, valued? You know, we all have that innate sense where we want to feel like we belong or people like us. So why not want to do that for a career when they grow up? And social media doesn't help really point. I mean, I don't know many of these YouTubers and influencers that are saying to us these days, like, no, don't copy me. Don't do what I say. Don't buy the product I'm recommending. Don't follow me, you know? Right. So why aren't we being told this lie of that is how you find success and greatness is through those things?
Mm-hmm. And scroll on Instagram, Facebook. I mean, maybe it's just my algorithm where I don't go on very often, but apparently I'm being targeted for, like, a lot of old lady makeup and, like, you know, things that it's like, if they want to sell me beauty, they will sell me beauty. I will be like, oh, yes, I need that eyebrow stencil. I'm like, I don't even know what I would do with that.
Right.
But so the world and the culture is really emphasizing not only fame, like on YouTube, but just beauty and money and power as our ultimate goal. And if that's where we're aiming our kids, you know, you think about a ship, and if you're just 1 degree off course for miles and miles, if you're just a little off, you're not going to hit your target. Mm-hmm. So how do we continue to redirect and keep our kids on course where they're aiming at true greatness, which, like you said, Kelly, is having a humble heart, a servant's heart, a generous heart, and a grateful heart, instead of being just 1 or 2 degrees off. And where we end is honestly destruction, disappointment, depression, because we're never going to be the prettiest in the room.
Right.
We're never going to have the most, as much money as we want. Mm-hmm. Power, all these things, they're fleeting. They're like waves and sand falling between our fingers. And so I think we're setting our kids up for failure if we are emphasizing these worldly values over continuously pointing towards what God desires.
Right. Well, it's too much emphasis on the head and not enough on the heart.
Mm, yeah.
And God is after our hearts. And the world, the enemy, he gets after our heads, our minds. He knows that that's where he can kind of get a foothold and kind of control our thoughts and our fears and our doubts and our insecurities. But God is after our heart. So as parents, we need to parent our kids' hearts. And I think that's one way we can really help guide our kids towards true greatness, because we're emphasizing the supernatural rather than the superficial. Mm-hmm. And there's, I think, some misunderstandings of God that hinder kids from achieving true greatness, or that parents misunderstand and don't help point their kids towards it. And I think the first one is a lot of times parents and kids can keep God in a jar. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of someone that they only encounter on Sundays in church or Wednesday night at church. It's just kind of, you know, they put them in a box, and when it's the right time of the week, or if it's just their daily devotion time, even it could be daily, that they keep God in a jar and they kind of check that box on their list of, oh, I spent time with God today. But is that really aiming them at true greatness if we're only teaching our kids to spend 5 minutes with him each day in the morning before school, rather than teaching them how to pursue him throughout their day and connecting their heart to him multiple times a day through multiple situations that they're going through? So I think we really need to try and help guide our children to not keep God in a jar and help really embrace having him a part of all of the moments of their lives. Mm-hmm.
So what are some like practical ways we can do this? I'm just trying to think, okay, how do we not, as Christian families and as parents, if one or two parents are believers, what does that look like in addition to going to like a youth group on Wednesday or Awana and then church on Sunday? I think a big thing is just talking to your kids about mm-hmm. your faith,
yeah.
About what you're seeing, how God's working. I know sometimes we'll just say like, oh, that's so cool. This family wants to go to church with us for Christmas. And instead of just being like, oh, they're coming, they're going to join us. It's like, hey, God is working. I've been praying for this family. They're going to join us. So let's just, you know, whatever, make sure we love on them and encourage them. And I just think it's so neat that they're usually not interested and they're wanting to join us and hear about Jesus. Isn't that so cool? Because yeah. God can work on their heart and give them such deeper hope and meaning in their lives than they have now. But kids don't think like that. So no. We have to kind of talk them through what we're doing, why we're doing it, and what we're thinking that, so that it doesn't just maybe look like, okay, we go to church, that's it. But maybe for them to see some of the intentionality behind what we're doing. I don't know. That's just one thing I do. I don't know. Do you have any?
Yeah, no, I think that's a perfect example, because when you do this, you bring God into, you make him seem more real. I mean, we believe he's real, but it was really hard for kids because they can't see him. So as the parents, we need to help them see how God is moving and working through these kinds of situations. And that's by kind of being the narrator of the story for them, because kids do have such great understanding of following stories. They hear them in school when you read to them at bedtime. So when you can help articulate the story of how God is working and moving in these lives and in through your lives, you're going to help them have that word picture. They're going to be able to see how God is actually working. So I agree. I think just kind of talking through different situations throughout the day. It can be like your example of inviting someone to church. It can be when you're driving in the car. If you see a car accident, you can be talking about how God can be moving in the lives of those people involved in that situation. You can take time to pray for those people as you drive by. Just always kind of being that narrator of the story for them, of what God is doing throughout mm-hmm. the day. Because the other thing is, when you don't do this, when you keep God in a jar, these type of families grow up viewing God as a casual outsider looking in. So you want to help your kids bring God into the middle of the story, being the center of that story rather than an outsider looking in. So doing that, you can, by bringing him into the conversation, sharing stories and examples of how you see God working and moving, and even ask your kids an example of like, hey, have you seen God working in your life or in a friend's life? I mean, we've been praying for Johnny's dad, and because he's been sick in the hospital, do you have an update on that? Like, can you see how God's been moving in their family situation? You know, kind of invite your kids to start narrating that story too.
Yeah, that's a really good idea. You know, another way to kind of hinder our kids, it sounds pretty negative, but in really focusing on what true greatness looks like, Kelly, you kind of hit on it, is really using God as the spare tire, where God is our last resort in emergencies. So, you know, a lot of families will just not think about God, not talk about God until they're like, oh, there's an accident. There's an emergency. Mm-hmm. Grandma's really sick.
Right.
Somebody is, you know, in dire need here. Now we need God. Otherwise, mm-hmm. he's up on the shelf.
Yeah.
He's stored away for safekeeping. Mm-hmm. I think we can all do that. We can get busy and then tragedy hits or something really hard hits. And then we're like, we need our spare tire. Where's God? We need some help here. And not that that's bad to call on God when you need him. And I think that sometimes for folks that aren't believers, God uses those really hard things to jolt people as a wake-up call. But for those of us who are walking with the Lord and in pursuing relationship with him, it's, again, encouraging our kids that it's not just a, he's my lifeline. Mm-hmm. He's my, you know, firefighter that's going to come in and rescue me in these hard times. But really, he desires a relationship with us daily, mm-hmm. Not just when we need him. That's pretty one-sided. Like,
right.
Oh, I need you. What if you had a friend that only called when they were like, oh, I really need something?
Yeah, yeah.
That's not what God wants for our relationship.
Exactly. And I think that's where this comes to really pursuing your faith individually as parents. Let your kids see you reading the Bible every day. Let them hear you praying. Let them hear you listening to worship music. And, you know, things get busy. Seasons are different where, you know, you might be in a season where the best time to read in your Bible is 5 a.m. while the kids are still sleeping. So they don't see you reading. But if your Bible's out on the kitchen counter or the table, they notice those things. Or if I'm in a season where I try to get my Bible study done when my kids are at practice. But I'll kind of mention like, oh, while you're at practice, I'm going to get my Bible study done, you know, and then like to one of your points, Michelle, beforehand is sharing something that you're learning. So, you know, sometimes I'll mention if it comes up in conversation with one of my kids about something they're dealing with, I'll be like, oh, I just read in my Bible study today about that. And I'll share what I'm learning. So really trying to, again, just help our kids see how God is a part of our daily lives. He's not in a jar and he's not just our spare tire. But I do think it is important for us to teach them that he is there for us in those times of mm-hmm. emergencies and critical situations and just the chaos of life. But we also want to show them that he's there in kind of what we would say are like the mundane times, you know? And I think those are the times that we actually have to pursue God the most, because it is so easy when things feel like they're going well or things are good that you do just kind of put them out of sight, out of mind, put them on that shelf, and then don't think about them again until that next need for a spare tire. So really just trying to teach your kids how to continually pursue him every day in all seasons.
Mm-hmm. Another mindset towards God that can be a detriment to kids is thinking of God as a hitchhiker. So it's just some stranger that we've picked up along the way. Mm-hmm. And I think kids in these families think, he's just along for the ride, but doesn't really have any say in where we're mm-hmm. going. And the families or parents that are really defined by having the Lord sit on the throne of their lives, let him take the steering wheel, yeah. right? Mm-hmm. And so often I think I'm in the driver's seat and I make decisions for my life or my family or whatever in my best interest or what I think is best. But how often do I not only sit in the passenger seat, but let God drive? So he needs to be steering our car. So he has every say in where we're going. He's not just a hitchhiker that we've picked up and we're like, oh yeah, he's mm-hmm. good for the morale in the right. car, right? He's not our hitchhiker. He should be the driver of our right. lives.
Well, and I think a good example of this is, prioritizing your faith. I mean, that's kind of the underlying of all of this, right? Because I just realized I've said that for the last two kind of tips that we're talking about here. But, you know, with the God the hitchhiker that kind of comes to mind, I think of those families that, you know, kind of go through the motions of like, okay, we baptize or dedicate our kids when they're newborns. We go to church on Easter and Christmas. We kind of say we're Christians, mm-hmm. But like you say, God is not in the driver's seat. He's not the one that they really truly pursue to lead their family. It's kind of more or less maybe they grew up with parents that went to church, and so it's kind of just, you know, we are this way by, you know, tradition, or because that's what we were raised as. You hear that a lot. Oh, I was raised this way. So I think it's really important for us as Christian parents to make our faith our own. Because when we do that, then we do let God tend to drive more than be the hitchhiker. But I also think too, that really helping teach our kids, that God is in control of, our lives. We talk a lot about, with our kids, you know, that God already knows the outcome of these situations, but he does ask us to bring them to his feet and to lay our cares and our worries at his cross. And so, but we can have faith and trust in him that he already knows the outcome. But teaching our kids to pray for direction, I think that helps them learn to put God in the driver's seat. So things as simple as, like, we're right now, we're praying about what middle school to send our youngest to. And we've been given lots of advice from different teachers and support people at his school. And it'd be really easy to just do exactly what they say. But we're not rushing into it. That could very well be what turns out to be the best thing for him. But we're talking to him about it, and we're saying, you know what, we're praying that God will just reveal to us what the right decision is and where you should go to school. And we know we don't need to worry about it. We can trust in him because he already knows the best place for you to go to school. So we're going to look into this. We're going to gather all the information. We're going to keep praying about it. And then, you know, when the time is right, we'll know the right decision to make. Mm-hmm. And I think that's teaching him to put God in the driver's seat, also to know that he can trust in God for his perfect plan and will for his life, and he doesn't need to worry about the what ifs of his future. He can have that comfort and peace in knowing that God's already got it all figured out. And yes, we have to make some decisions in that process, but no matter what, God's going to work it out no matter what decision we make. Mm-hmm. So I think we just really need to help show our kids how we let God drive our lives and how they can let God drive their lives.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, what a great tool to teach him and to walk him through, because it would be easy for you and your husband just to have a discussion based on all the advice you got and make a decision and tell them, hey, this is what we think is best. Mm-hmm. But when you're allowing the conversation to, you know, include and focus on what God wants for your family, it's just teaching him, oh, okay, well, I guess this is how I troubleshoot, and this is how I problem solve and approach life, is to bring it to the Lord, get wise counsel, and step out in faith and trust him.
Because I think there's so many times, like you said, where we can make all these decisions and never invite God into them. And that is keeping God as a hitchhiker. Mm-hmm. And I mean, we could go throughout our whole entire lives just making all these decisions. And it is sometimes easy to be like, oh, I should just do this, blah, blah, blah. We think we know best and we want what's best for our kids. But we can fall into a trap really quickly where we just get in the habit of making all these decisions ourselves and not inviting God into it. And next thing you know, you look back over a year or two of your life and you're like, how did I get here?
I'm off course.
I am so off course. Yeah. God is not at the center of this thing. And we need to right this ship real quick or else we are going to head to a dead end, mm-hmm. you know? So another way I think that we can tend to hinder our kids in aiming them at true greatness is kind of treating God as the sugar daddy. We kind of, I think, can get in this trap of just pursuing God to give us what we want. and God is only there to dole out blessings. I think kids in these families only turn to God when their personal agenda doesn't turn out the way they planned. So it's like, oh, things didn't go the way I want, and I still really want it that way, so I'm going to ask God to give me what I want. Mm-hmm. And you and I have talked about this before, and it's trying to teach our kids that we don't just come to God with an agenda or our, you know, wish list. Oh, dear God, please do X, Y, and Z. Please do the. And I mean, it is good to teach our kids to bring our desires to the Lord. The word tells us that God wants to give us the desires of our heart, but that's not all he's there for. Yeah. And it's really easy to make God out to be the sugar daddy of our lives, who's just going to keep giving us everything we want. And I think if we paint that picture for our kids, they're going to be really disappointed.
Yeah.
And if we're not careful of helping them understand this in a better light, when they get older and become teenagers, or they go off on their own and they start to really wrestle with their faith, we could risk them turning away from their faith because they experience some really challenging times in their life and they don't understand why God isn't, you know, giving them what they want. Mm-hmm. They could turn their back on their faith real easily. So I think it's really important that we kind of help shed light on this a little bit more for them.
It's funny, my husband and I were watching ESPN yesterday morning, not my choice, mm-hmm. is, but, and, you know, Brittany Griner recently got released from Russia, right? And they were interviewing one of her old teammates or old coaches or something, and the lady was just so joyful, obviously, that Brittany Griner got released from prison over there. And she just kept saying, the second I heard that she was released, I knew God was good. And at that point I was praying, oh God, you are good. You are good. Yes. And the first thing I said is, yeah, but he was still good when she was in jail.
That's right.
And yes, he is a good God. And I'm glad she's not, you know, sitting in a scary prison cell, whatever. But God, that theology, I think, our kids can fall into that, and we can fall into that mm-hmm. trap. Like, he's there to dole out blessings. And if Brittany Griner didn't get released from jail, like this, if like this lady was thinking, her theology is like, if it doesn't turn out the way that I want, then who's God? Like, he's not good. He's right, not giving right. the blessings I want. And I'm not bagging on this lady or whatever. I think it's whatever. It's great. God is yeah. good. But God is good even when things are hard. And mm-hmm. I think a lot of character is built through discipline, through mm-hmm. hardships, mm-hmm. through really hard circumstances. And our kids need to see that when we don't have money, when grandma is sick, when their friend has cancer, mm-hmm. God is still good, even if things don't turn out the way that we want them to. That's based right. on our personal agenda. And the more we can get that drilled into their heads, the better for them in the long run, because mm-hmm. the whole prosperity gospel,
that's and, right.
you know, blessings, and, you know, God will keep giving me what I want. I mean, you look through history, that is not no. what has happened in Bible, in through the Bible, and through decades of people following the Lord and pursuing walking and putting God first in
mm-hmm.
their lives.
Mm-hmm. I think it's always pointing them back to trusting God no matter what, trusting in his plan. Yes, we can ask for these things, but if not, he's still good. We can still trust him. We still need to believe that there's a purpose in his plan for our lives and the way he's steering this ship. You know, like if we prayed for, you know, oh, I pray that I make this team, but you don't make the top team, you make the second team. We still need to trust that God is good and he has a plan, and there's a reason why he put us on this team versus that team, you know? So, I mean, I think in sports, because my kids are all very involved in that, and we've walked that situation where they did desire to make a certain team and didn't make it. But by the end, and we just prayed, you know, okay, God, we trust you. It didn't work out the way we had hoped, but we know you're still good. You have a plan and a purpose. Help us to see what it is you want to teach us through this season, how you want us to grow. And sure enough, by the end of the season, there has been so much character opportunities in my kids' lives where they've learned and grown and experienced things that have helped shape them into better people versus just being on, you know, the better team, if you will, or the team that, you know, goes to more tournaments or has a better winning record. And I think, again, that's us. If we're not careful, we can point our kids towards that success, that fame, that worldly pursuit that we see on social media, or just how the enemy can sometimes, you know, guide us towards. We want to feel that success or whatever, but oftentimes when we take the lower road, the road less traveled, that's where life really happens and where these great character opportunities can come from. So I think it's so important that we just continue to teach our kids to trust in God, even when the things we're praying for don't always come true or are granted. He's not a genie in a bottle, you know. Right. It's not Aladdin. We don't get three wishes. Mm-hmm. We get to pursue him and what his plan and purpose is for our life. And oftentimes when we do have a close relationship with the Lord, the desires of our heart are from him. Yeah. And so oftentimes they do come true. But when we're not pursuing him and we're not living our lives for him, our desires can be very disconnected from who God really wants us to be or how he wants us to live. And that's oftentimes where that disconnect can happen from.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's really wise. You know, the last tip we have for parents to help avoid a common trap to hinder our kids from true greatness is to avoid making God the heavy. Mm-hmm. And we've talked about this before, but we shouldn't be using God as the the artillery to guilt our kids into submission. And I know I've done this before.
Oh, yeah.
When I say, okay, did you steal your brother's gum? And they're like, nope. I'm like, okay, God knows you're lying right now.
Like, yeah. Oh, that's... God knows your heart.
I've used everything you do. Yeah. But really, I think if there's too much of this, these kids can often struggle with disgrace and feeling rejected and live in this constant state of like, ugh, resentment. Mm-hmm. And we have a saying here at Grace-Based Families. And I think about, if you think about this in parenting, but you can also relay it to your relationship with God, but relationship without rules leads to rebellion. Mm-hmm. But rules without relationship leads to resentment. Mm-hmm. So if you think of a relationship with your kids, if you have your best buddies, right, but there's no rules, they can do whatever they want. They will probably rebel because there's no boundaries. There's right. no guardrails in place. And on the flip side, if you have so many rules for your kid, we have a friend that has so many rules. I'm always like walking on eggshells around her because she's like, you know, you're not allowed to take off your shoes at the park. You know, you can't blink twice. I'm like, oh, there's so many rules. And you can tell that this kid, there's just not much of a relationship there.
Yeah.
That he is so resentful of his mom. You can see it on his face. And so when you think about a relationship with God too, like he has rules for us, for our best interest. But he wants a relationship with us too. He's mm-hmm. not just this guy up in the clouds that is guilting us into submission. He wants relationship mm-hmm. with us. And that doesn't mean that we're throwing the rules out the window.
Right.
But there's this balance of grace and truth mm-hmm. that how the Lord treats us and how we should treat our kids, just to kind of keep the equilibrium there. Mm-hmm. Not too much rules, not too much too heavy on rules or too heavy on just relationship.
Yeah, absolutely.
We'll help our kids to really keep the bubble in the middle, as mm-hmm. we say here.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think the common denominator that you can hear through all the examples that we've shared on how to really point your kids towards true greatness is being parents who exemplify that God is their life. When we can model that God is truly the center of our lives, the desire of our heart, and we parent and we also pursue our marriage with a heart that is after God and keeping God at the center of it all, that is how kids will also pursue God and make him the center of their lives. And that's really where true greatness comes from. They live their lives for his glory. Every compartment of their lives is saturated with his presence and power. And when we do that, that is when we live with a humble heart, a servant's heart, a generous heart, and a grateful heart. And that's truly where greatness comes from.
Thank you for listening to the Grace-Based Family Podcast. This is part of Family Matters Ministry. For more information, check us out at gracebasedfamilies.com and follow us on Instagram and Facebook. Until next time.